Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Connecting with Spirit. I am so glad you're joining us today because we have a co-host who is just amazing. Her name is Morgan Safer. So I'd like to introduce this good friend of mine. She is a talented and dedicated animal communicator, healer, and medium. And she is joining us today to provide information and insight about many of the questions you have about your animal companions. So please feel free to call in if you'd like to ask her a question about the behavior, diet, or health of your animal companion. Welcome to the show, Morgan. It's so wonderful to have you here again.
Thank you so much for having me again. Yes, I'm very much looking forward to chatting with you and some of the callers.
Absolutely. So we will take a call after maybe one or two questions, but I did want to ask first, a lot of people are wondering, how did you know that you were most suited to working with animals rather than humans? Was there something that you experienced in this life that solidified that path for you?
Well, yes, actually, there were many, many things, but one thing, that one experience that really did it for me, and this is where I always start to cry, excuse me. I've always loved animals. I grew up with cats, and I loved them very, very much. And then when I was 21, I moved out of the house, and there was kind of a gaping hole in my heart. And then when I turned 23, my dad and I went to the Humane Society, and I just knew. It was one of those things, you know, when a mother knows she just has to have a baby. It was like that with me. I just knew that I had to have a three-month-old female black kitten. So we went to the Humane Society, and I first met Pink, and at that very moment, my whole world kind of stopped, and because it was the first experience I had with real unconditional love. And after that moment, after that one moment that I held her, my entire life changed, and I realized just how special animals are. And through a series of, I guess, initiations and experiences after that moment, it became very clear to me that I was to be a voice for animals and to bridge the gap between animals and people on Earth.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I really love that story. And I know that Pink is a constant reminder and a motivation for you about this path and everything that you stand for and everything that you do. So I think that's just amazing how you have her along for this journey.
Okay. Yeah, she's, you know, some of the time she doesn't think so. You know, when we're on the road, she's kind of like, what did I get myself to do? But,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, she's certainly an inspiration for absolutely everything I do. Even from getting up in the morning till the time I go to bed, it's definitely all about her.
Oh, I have no doubts. Okay, so I do see we have a number of callers. So before I ask another question, I'm going to see if we can take a caller here and see what they have to ask. Just hold on.
Perfect, thank you.
Hello, Hi. You're also on the air with
My
us.
My name's Amanda.
Hi,
and thank you for taking
Hi, Amanda.
My
How
call.
Are you? Oh, you're
I'm
welcome.
Good.
And now you can ask Jill, or sorry, you can ask Morgan anything you'd like.
Amanda, well, how's it going? I took in a rescue. Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I took in a rescue, and he's still a little skittish. We've had him since May, and he's starting to warm up to us, but still a little scared sometimes. So how do I reassure him that, you know, we are his forever home, and, you know, I'm sorry of anything that, like, has happened before, but I just want him to know that we're not like whoever had him before. How do I communicate
that to
him?
There are a couple of options for you. Your situation is very common, fortunately and unfortunately. Fortunately, of course, that there are wonderful people like you who adopt rescues, and unfortunately, there are situations where rescues have been in unfortunate situations before homes that are forever homes. The number one thing is, really, animals are extremely sensitive to energy, and if you're familiar with what energy is, if anybody you know practices Reiki or any kind of energy work, that really is a calming, soothing effect for them, because they're so connected with energy bodies on so many levels, and any kind of energy work that you can have done on him or have a friend do on him would really go a great length. Alternatively, if you are not familiar with energy work, I do suggest, if you're interested, to look up Reiki for animals. But if that's something that's kind of on the back burner, I would suggest animals, the secondary to energy, are really familiar with smells. Smell is kind of their strongest sense. And what's a calming scent is lavender. So if you have any lavender oil, you might want to consider buying lavender oil and getting a diffuser. We don't want to put the oil directly on the animal because in some cases, lavender is not toxic per se, but some people can kind of mix up the message and they may end up getting an oil that can be toxic to dogs, and especially if you have cats in the home, then it can really affect cats too. So if you can get a lavender diffuser as well as maybe, you know, putting on some classical music in the background, background and just have quiet time with him. Just, you know, every day at half an hour when you get home from work, just turn on the classical music and put the lavender diffuser or hydrosol spray on. Maybe if he's okay with it, start giving him a gentle massage. Massaging
okay.
is incredibly therapeutic because it builds trust between you and him, as well as it helps him to relax and facilitate blood flow and digestion and all sorts of things like that. So really, it's just all about building that energetic connection. And if you're not an energy healer, then the smell will do will go a long way as well.
Okay.
Does that answer your question? Do you have any follow-up questions?
Yes. No,
okay.
No. That's awesome. It's great advice. I'll try that stuff with him. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Amanda.
Okay, thank you so much for calling, Amanda. Really appreciate it. And you can always follow up with Jill. I have a link up to her website. And if you ever have any further questions, you can always get a hold of her and talk to her further after the show. Good luck to you and your wonderful pet. Okay, so I'm going to ask you another question before we take another caller. We have many callers today, so it looks like you're going to be answering a number of questions today, which is wonderful. Okay,
yes, it is wonderful.
Just, you know, in about 30 seconds to a minute, describe to me a typical day in the life of an animal communicator, healer, and medium. What is this life like for you? What do you do on a daily basis?
Well, every day at 5 o'clock a.m. sharp central time, I get woken up by a very hungry cat every day. And, you know, no matter what time zone we're in, it's always the same. So, you know, she wakes me up and I wake up and I feed her and I pour myself a big giant cup of tea. I do some meditative work because a lot of what I do entails quite a bit of meditation. So I meditate. I get quite a bit of writing done in the morning as well. I'm working on a few new projects that I'm really excited about. And I do most of the writing in the morning because for some reason I really resonate with the stillness and the darkness of the morning. It's very inspirational. And after I do the writing, I go to the gym to have a little workout, and then I come back and I work with a few clients or do a little bit more writing. And really, you know, my entire day is pretty much focused around my business. I am very obsessed with my business. I'm obsessed with my job. I'm always obsessed with growing and learning and reading and expanding as much as possible. So really, the day of an animal communicator is pretty much focused around how can I help as many animals as possible or how can I reach as many people as possible. So my day is pretty much focused around work, whether it be self-work and meditation or research or creating, not only writing, but also creating healing tools for animals, such as crystal healing items and whatnot. So that's kind of my day. That's pretty much what I do. I work from home a lot, and it's really wonderful. I highly appreciate working from home on cold days like today. It's certainly something that I've worked pretty hard towards. So, that's pretty
absolutely.
Much my day.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds very similar to mine. Yes, absolutely. Trying to focus on how many people, or in your case, animals, you can help. And it's just mm-hmm. a beautiful thing to be able to offer that to so many people. And you also teach courses in Winnipeg, Manitoba, but also starting to teach online, which is going to be great. So if anyone has any questions about possibly learning more about Jill's courses, please check out her website. As I said, it's listed. And you can even see her on Facebook. Her main page, I believe, is J. Morgan Safer. So you can take a look on there and find out about all the many courses that she's offering. And as well, she just put on a beautiful event in Winnipeg, Manitoba last week, and we had so much fun. And I saw some of the beautiful gems that she made that can help your animal companion. So definitely get in touch with her if you think that your animal companion might benefit from having some crystals near their collar or around them. And it's just beautiful. Okay, so we're going to take another caller and see what they have to ask you.
Great.
Hello there. May I have your name, please?
Hi, this is Laura in New Jersey.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
Great. And you're on the air with Morgan, so you can ask her any question you'd like.
I would like to know what you see for any big changes that might be coming my way.
I'm sorry, the topic of today, just hold on, Morgan. The topic of today is about communicating with animals. And so do you have an animal companion you'd like to ask a question about, such as about behavior or health-related questions? Because we're not doing just readings today. We are talking more about animals and what they need.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't have any animal companions. That's okay,
okay.
then. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'll be back again next Friday. So if you have any questions that you'd like to ask like that, please do call me next Friday, and I will be taking your calls regarding more of that realm, okay? Have a great weekend.
Okay, great.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, then. Well, because we didn't really have much of a question there, we'll take another caller and see if they have a question about their animal companion.
Okay, perfect.
Hello, you're on the air with Morgan and Michelle. May I have your name, please?
Hi, yes, this is Diane. Thank you very much for taking my call. I have two pets right now, but I was wondering, do you ever communicate with animals that are in spirit, that have been with us before?
I do, yes.
Okay, because I was hoping you would tune into that dog spirit for me, because we've been, she died about 3 years ago, and I was just kind of curious when she might be coming back again. She's been with me three times already.
Well, I do need a picture in order to specifically speak with your dog, but I can also let you know that, so she's been with you three times in this particular life?
That's correct.
Okay, so depending on what happens when animals cross over is depending on what they've undergone on Earth, they can take anywhere from, 5 to 10 years to heal, possibly longer. So if she had a particularly peaceful life, then the turnaround would be a lot quicker than if she had any trauma associated with her life. You know, if you adopted her and she had trauma before you adopted her, then it would take a little bit of a longer time for her to turn around and come back. What I suggest is to maybe lesser focus on when she's coming back and to just ask Spirit to kind of bring you the highest and best dog for you when that particular dog is available, because the more we get attached to one specific energy, the harder it is for them to go up and heal to come back, because we're kind of keeping them here by waiting for them to come back to us. You know, we're keeping their energy with us instead of allowing that energy to cross over and to heal properly in order to fully come back and be present in the moment when the dog is reincarnated.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. That helps a lot. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Diana.
You bet.
Okay, take care. Wonderful questions today. We do have some more callers on hold, and we will get to them very soon. But I'm going to ask you another question. So
sure.
As a medium myself, I understand that our abilities are constantly growing, changing, and evolving with our experience. And so how do you find this path today compared to about 10 years ago?
Well, it's an interesting question, because as with any kind of healing modality, any well-versed healer will tell you that in order to be a good quote-unquote healer, or in order to be an effective healer, no matter what your modality is, you always need to do the work. And by doing the work essentially means intense self-examination. So you'll find, with any healer, as well as myself, that we go through periods of like grueling, intense self-examination. It's quite difficult, because it's not the same kind of work that you would do in an office. It's kind of 24/7. And at the same time, as grueling as it is, when we come out the other side, we're faced with these great epiphanies that really inspire us to create and to reach further lengths and distances. And so what's happened to me in the last 10 years is I've really committed, writing down intentions, manifesting. I've really committed my life to doing this, to healing animals, to meeting people who are interested in bridging the gap between animals and people. Because of the commitment that I've made really my life, I've grown so much because of the self-examination, because of doing the work. We're always being bombarded with challenges that we need to face and to heal and that takes a lot of time. So a lot of my past 10 years has really been self-work, and as a result of that, I've been able to grow with my mediumship and with my healing abilities. It's all about really healing yourself before you can heal anyone else.
Well, that's absolutely true. And I find that, definitely when people are looking to enhance their spiritual abilities, whether it's more geared towards humans or animals, it does take a certain amount of reflection and introspection and being willing to kind of look at yourself with a magnifying glass in order to be able to help others. You need to understand how you can help yourself. And so I absolutely agree with that and resonate with that whole idea that we need to focus on our own paths in order to help others with theirs.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay, so we're going to take another caller now and see what they have to say.
Sure.
Hi there, you're on the air with us. May I have your name, please?
My name is Janet.
Hi, Janet.
Janet,
yeah.
Janet.
Rescue that we rescued. He's been with us for a year, and he's the sweetest, loving, just bundle of joy. But the past 3 or 4 days, he is all of a sudden in strange moments, like snapping at us.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what.
Yeah, I mean, very often when something, how old is he?
He's three.
He's three. Okay. So what can happen sometimes is when an animal is not really feeling 100%, they can kind of lash out because they can't really say like, hey, Janet, I'm not feeling well, you know. So their form of letting you know that they're not feeling well can often be lashing out or hiding. So that's kind of something that you may want to go and see your vet about because it could be a health issue. And, you know, the way that you would kind of gauge whether it's a physical health issue or not is you can pay attention to vary. You can, I call it observation in my classes. And what observation is you want to take note of, you know, how the animal's, say, bathroom habits are going. Is the animal's poop runny or, I know it's a lovely topic, but runny or hard? Does the animal, are his eyes red? You know, if his eyes are red and he's snapping at you, then I would probably take him to the vet because it sounds like it might be a bladder kind of situation because a lot of times the redness of the eyes correlates to the bladder. So if you're finding that there are other things about his physical body that are off in addition to the snapping, eye color, ear goop, bathroom habits changing, anything to that effect, then I would immediately take him to the vet because that's probably an inner organ situation. But at the same time, if that's not the case and it's just a snapping issue because he's suddenly misbehaving, we want to take note of what changed in the home when he started to do that. For example, one time I had...
My son moved out.
Okay, well, there you go. So a lot of these things are environmental. And whenever a dog or cat immediately changes behavior, if it's not a physical problem, it definitely has to do with an environmental change. And so something, unfortunately, you know, with your son moving out, there's not a whole lot you can do. But what I might do is just kind of, again, you know, animals really resonate with the classical music. So he's probably quite upset. And so you want to, you know, have soothing experiences in your home for him, like classical music or, again, the lavender. And just speaking in low tones and kind of, you know, they may not understand English per se, but they can understand the intonation behind our words. So if we are constantly reassuring our animals, you know, it's okay, we love you and everything's going to be okay, and my son loves you, just because he's not here doesn't mean he doesn't love you. And just kind of speaking your truth is, if you speak it in a gentle tone, he'll really be able to resonate with that energy behind your words.
Okay, that's great. Can I ask, I have who are sensitive. And
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you. What did you say?
I have a couple of kids who are sensitive, and we have a lot of spirit energy around here. I want to make sure that there's nothing negative around it all of a sudden he's picking up on.
Well, something that you can do if you feel that there might be negative energy in your home is to grab some sage and to just smudge, light the sage and burn it around your house. It's very effective. I myself had to use some last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's very effective for getting rid of negative energy. And, you know, sometimes in our homes, it's not necessarily that we have a visitor in spirit. It's often that there's energy from, like, residual energy from people who used to live in the home still lingering, right? So to get rid of all of that, all you really need is some sage. And if you light it and burn it around your house, and it really makes a tremendous difference in the quality of energy in your home.
Yeah, I sage weekly because of the kids. I have no choice. So,
I'm going to keep an eye on him.
I do Reiki. Do you do Reiki the same on animals as you do?
Are quite a number of differences. There are, you know, the chakras are different, and some of the methodologies and understand. Like, it's traditional. If you have your Reiki, then yes, you can practice that Reiki. But there's the courses that I've created are a lot more specific to animals. The chakras are different. The stresses are different. There are a couple of different symbols that I've channeled that are different as well. So if you did want to look into specific animal Reiki, then I do recommend that we speak after the show for sure, because there are a number of different. I have a 27-page manual just for animal Reiki. I'll just say that.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, and I hope that your animal companion is so much better and feeling better after all that. Okay, so... Wonderful. So I'm going to ask you another question now, Morgan.
Sure.
In one of my Facebook groups, someone asked why their dog, which is generally housebroken in their home, tends to go all over the house of a different person, and particularly in this case, her brother's home. And she noted that this particular dog was a rescue dog. Does that make a difference? And what can she do to kind of rectify the situation?
Well, there are a couple of points of note here, one of which is when you're training a dog for desirable behavior, often we neglect to train in kind of a varied way. So if I have a dog here and I'm training the dog not to urinate in my house, the dog will learn not to urinate in my house, but the dog may not associate with urination in my house with urination in a different house. So when we're trying, when we're training a dog to not, you know, go in the house, or when we're training a dog not to bark at passersby, we want to always be sure that we're training not only in our home but in other people's homes as well, so the dog gets the message that it's not acceptable in any home and not just our home. And secondly, since it is an adoptive dog, it's possible that there's a trigger in the brother's house that is setting off the dog to do this. Again, you know, getting back to the smell thing, there could be a possible smell in the house that the dog doesn't like, perhaps a dog who lived there before whose smell is still around. Or, you know, there, it might be that this particular dog is afraid of something that the brother is doing. You know, perhaps this dog is afraid of men, or perhaps this man is the same shape and size as a man who used to abuse this dog. There are a myriad of factors that can go into why this is happening, but in terms of healing it as quickly as possible, that's an obedience issue. You know, there's the Reiki and there's the animal communication, but in terms of efficiency and haste of healing the situation, it's more of an obedience issue than anything else. And because obedience trainers are very well versed in how to handle specifically going to the bathroom on the floor. And if it is a trigger that the brother is doing, then that's kind of an energy issue. But it would probably be worked on equally as effectively with the obedience training.
Well, that sounds great. Now that she's listening and got all that information, because I think it's very helpful and very, very insightful. I just love how you present this information, because it obviously comes from a lot of experience and just so much just of your own intuition, which is just mm-hmm. beautiful. Okay, so what should people look for in an animal communicator when they're seeking one out for their animal friend?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of people can proclaim to be animal communicators, and many of them possibly are. But when it comes right down to it, I mean, the best possible way to find a good healer of any sort is by word of mouth. You know, if you have somebody you trust and you say, oh, hey, I'm looking for an animal communicator, and they're able to say, oh, I know someone, and, you know, I've worked with this person before and I had great results, that's really the best way to do it. But if you don't know anyone who has, by all means, I mean, the most important part of hiring anyone in any field is to do your research. You know, Google that person, look at their website and read their articles. I personally have a blog that I pour my heart and soul into, and that resonates with a lot of people. You know, I post a lot about animal healing as well as human healing, and a lot of people, I've gotten a lot of clients through my blog because people say, hey, I really liked this particular article. Can you give me more information? So when you're looking for an animal communicator, it's important to say Google that person's name and see what comes up. And, you know, don't just go with the first person you see, because a lot of times, you know, people could potentially be great animal communicators, but somebody with kind of a more lengthy experience communicating with animals is really the best way to go, for obvious reasons, because the more experience we have, the more information and knowledge we have. And lastly, it's important to find an animal communicator who is not only a spiritual healer, but also somebody who has worked with animals in a hands-on, real, you know, life three-dimensional setting. I have personally experience in an animal shelter, doggy daycare. You know, dog sat when I was younger and dog walked and all these sorts of things. I'm still dog walking for fun, actually. But, you know, it's important that people recognize that, yes, we are wonderful animal healers, but we're also in a three-dimensional world, and there's a lot of behavioral issue that goes on in the three-dimensional world that can kind of be picked at from an energetic perspective, but really has a lot to do with, you know, the more experience we have in these shelters and daycares, it's, hey, I've seen this before and this is what it could possibly be, instead of, you know, only meditating on it. Find someone who basically has more than one angle to look in a situation, more than one way to approach it in order to rectify the situation.
Wonderful. That's really great advice. And hopefully, you know, by you speaking about this, people will understand that, you know, that it's more than just, you know, kind of looking on websites or kind of hoping that Google will draw them to the right person. Mm-hmm. It's definitely word of mouth. And even, you know, asking around, I would say, like when people ask me about, you know, how to look for a medium that they would resonate with, I always suggest calling like metaphysical shops. You know, when you're a bit more well-known around town, such places will recommend you. And I'm
Absolutely.
Very certain that you get recommended all of the time.
I might. I'm not going to lie. I'm just kidding. Right. Yes, okay. I do work out of a few metaphysical shops here in southern Manitoba, and you know I've established quite a good rapport with them because they're everybody in southern Manitoba is a very spiritual place, and everybody works really well together. And that's the nice thing is that we all do recommend each other, and you know there may be more than one person who does a specific thing, but there are various various facets of specific mediumship, for example, and that's the nice thing is that we do get recommendations because we kind of put ourselves out there, and we've worked with people for, you know, 10 plus years, and we've done a good job apparently, so that's exactly correct. You know, calling a metaphysical shop is an excellent suggestion as well.
For sure. So we have a few minutes left, and I thought this would be a great time for you to talk about some of the courses that you're offering, especially coming up in 2017, and anything else you'd like to share with everyone about what they can do to increase their own knowledge and awareness, if there's anything you'd like to share about some basic tips, especially during this busy holiday season where animals might be a little bit more stressed out as their people are probably stressed out. So anything you'd like to share about all of that, that'd be great.
Well, I mean, of course, don't feed your animals the holiday table food. That's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But just be aware that animals are, you know, 9 times out of 10 reacting to our energy. So if we're kind of walking around the house and making our turkey and cranberry sauce and all of a sudden our dogs are barking and jumping and yelping out of nowhere, we want to check in with ourselves first and, you know, what are we doing to facilitate this animal's behavior? Because very often they're just mirroring our behavior. And, you know, whenever we're in a situation with our animal and suddenly the animal is acting a little weird, it's all about empathy. You know, you do your best to get into that animal's mind and say, okay, have I been out, you know, at work more than usual? Is my animal sad because of this or that? And, you know, really just put yourself in the animal situation before you start to kind of get upset and you know, think, what's going on with my animal? Always put yourself in the animal situation first. As well, when you first, here's something that I like to teach in my classes. When you first are considering adopting an animal and you bring an animal into your home, take note of what your animal is like when the animal is totally healthy. Because once you know what the animal is like when they're healthy, you'll be able to note the first sign of something being off. If you start to take note of your animal's properties when the animal is already off, you're not going to have a frame of reference to compare the animal to as a healthy animal. So at first possibility, I would always recommend checking the eye color, checking the ears, checking the nose, checking the tongue, checking the way the animal walks, what kind of bowel movements they have, how often they urinate. These sorts of things will help us to gauge very quickly if an animal isn't feeling well instead of, you know, if we don't do these things and we can sometimes, you know, make ourselves crazy like, oh, my goodness, my animal is doing something and I don't know what it is, but if you have a frame of reference, it's really easy to take note of when something changes. And a little bit about the courses I offer. I'm an animal communicator and animal Reiki master particularly. I do offer in Winnipeg and Western Canada. I am offering all of my courses. The animal Reiki, as I mentioned before, is specific to animals. Animals have very different stresses. Animals have very different belief systems and presences and understanding and knowledges of energy, very different from humans. And so I've created a 27-page manual specifically for animal healing, specifically for animal Reiki. And the animal Reiki has 3 levels. And as well, the animal communication has 3 levels, and the animal communication can be done online. So if there is anybody out there who wants to learn to communicate with your animals, I do welcome you to contact me because I am offering Skype classes for up to 5 people at a time, and this can be from anybody across the world who is able to contact me can be part of these classes. And they are all one-day-long certification programs. They're about 7-8 hours long, so it is kind of a time, but we do get breaks, and it's a pretty fun time because I'm funny and I like to make people laugh. And lastly, I do offer the crystal healing for animal courses. I've created a number of crystal healing tools for animals that I am selling in Winnipeg as well as online. Crystals are very, very powerful healing tools for animals because animals are extremely sensitive to energy and crystals are extremely powerful healing tools energetically. So they do resonate very well with animals. And I've been guided to create all sorts of fun healing tools for animals that I've been selling successfully at workshops and festivals. So I will be offering a crystal healing for animals course online the first part of January. I think that one's only about 2 hours long. And if that is something that interests anyone, please do contact me and you can be a part of that class. It's going to be one of the first 2 weeks of January in an evening. So those are the classes that are thus far available, animal related. I do, and to, oh, and you know, there are three levels in all the classes, of course, but the level ones can be done online. So those are all the courses I have at the moment, I believe. And as well, I do distance sessions one-on-one. If anybody has a question about their animal friend, they are welcome to contact me, and I can do an individual session via picture with anyone across the world.
That is wonderful information, Morgan. Thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate it, and we'll definitely have you back on the show again soon because I think people have lots of questions, and I am just grateful for you sharing your insight and knowledge with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you for the opportunity. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to wish everyone to have a great weekend, and we'll see you on the air next Friday. Bye-bye.
Bye.